Okay, everyone. Hello. Really to take a moment and to welcome Marcy. It's really, really wonderful to have you back. Baruch Rofe Cholim, Rofat Rofe Cholot, Baruch Hashem. Bemet, until 120, Bezrat Hashem, with good health. Today, I decided, just because it's a one-time shiur, because next week we have Yom Ha'atzmaut, so I didn't want to start a new series of classes. So I decided I'm going to take one halachic tshuva that was written in the ghetto. Maybe some of you already know it, but we will try to analyze the tshuva. You know, when you read tshuvot from whatever era, it can be from the Middle Ages, it can be even before that or after that, you can always read the tshuva and basically ask yourself, okay, what's the bottom line? Okay, mutar, asur, is that allowed, not allowed, chayav, mutar, chayav, patur, exempt, not exempt, obligated. But I like to read tshuvot, also with obviously with the historical context, also to try to understand the dilemma, to try to understand the shoel, the person who asked, and the mashiv, and the person who answered. And to try to see, you know, how they answer the question, what are the circumstances. And obviously you can understand that answering questions in the Kovna ghetto, obviously the rabbi did not sit with the library or with a Bar Ilan CD in his computer or Tzar HaChokhmah. So it was probably by heart, orally, whatever he remembered. And maybe there was a book or two that he was able to look at, which I will probably, it will be very hard for me to believe that something like that really did happen. But whatever. Basically, it's from his own knowledge, and maybe a book here or two. And then don't forget that those questions are not asked to the rabbi who sits in the yeshiva and he has, you know, time to think about it, and everyone goes to work every day, and there is this basically almost slavery. So you need to think quick, you need to answer, and knowing that your answer has a tremendous impact on the life of the person who asked you. So I will share with you the question first. Even if we don't get to the answer, by the way, that's okay. I think to read the question right, that will be an experience. But we will look at the answer too, don't worry. So, the rabbi who wrote this tshuvot was Rav Ephraim Oshri. He was a rav in a Kovna ghetto. And they put it together and called Mima Amakim. That's from the depth. That was basically the name of the book. So in Mima Amakim, Chelek Gimel Siman Zayin, it says like that, Sheela. So the question starts like that. Mi itanet laot vetzarot yesaper? Who is the one who is going to basically share with us all the afflictions and the suffering that we are experiencing? Mi ya'ale mora al rosho v'yeta'er ka'et et aimat ha'klaya v'ashmad ha'ereg v'ha'avadon v'ata lelo eref et asirei ani u'barzel shi'igiu az b'imei ha'ra'a ad sha'arei mavet. He says, who is going to describe, who is going to stand and describe the horrors, the murder, the desolation that basically took over us, the prisoners who came into this gate of death? Az bin fol ameinu biyatzar ve'ein ozerlo. When our nation fell into the hands of those cruel people and no one want to help us. Pekadunu batzar pchadim b'ma'as uve'machshava. We were basically overwhelmed with fears, with concerns, in thoughts and in actions. Ki nil'einu nesu'af v'charon, chema v'zam shenishpach aleinu mimarom. Because we just didn't have the power anymore to carry, to be able to carry the rage and the wrath that came from heaven on us. Kalta v'nichpefa az nafshenu, limtso b'mavet goel ufdaya b'shachat. This is a terrible sentence. Basically saying, Kalta, what is Kalta? It came to an end. V'nichpefa az nafshenu, and our soul was basically totally submissive to what? Limtso b'mavet goel, to find redemption where? With death. Uvdaya and redemption b'shachat. Shachat is basically going to the pit. Ki kashal kocheinu lisbol ash'et v'ashever. Because we just couldn't bear anymore the burden and the cruelty. Ki chashov chashavnu shenetananu Hashem biyedei לא נוכל קום, because we thought that Hashem basically handed us to an enemy that we will not be able to stand against anymore. We are going to be doomed. כי מלבד הצרות והייסורים, so because besides or not only the afflictions and the צרות שניתחו על ראשינו בלי ערף על ידי שונאינו ומנדינו שצמתו את חיינו ולא נתנו לנו מנוח, it says not only that our enemies are basically are hunting us every minute of our day, עוד פצו עלינו פיהם בחרבות וגידופים בייחוד כשהובילו תחת משמר את עובדי הכפייה לעבודת פרך. It says especially when they cursed us, they diminished us, when they send us to slavery, when they took them to work. So obviously it was not, okay, go on the bus, you know, coffee and cake will wait for you on the bus. It was go and yelling at us and cursing us. האומללים הללו היו מוקים ולוקים על כל צעד ושעל בידי נוגסיהם הארורים שימהרו לצעוד וללכת. It says, and those miserable people who were taken to labor, they were beaten, cursed by the Nazis. ולפעמים גם לרוץ אל מקום עבודתם במקום שהעבידום כעבודה מפרכת את הגוף ומדכא את הנפש. בעוד שהחריטו מהם את לחם חוקם ומנעו מהם אוכל כדי להשיב נפשם. And also, not only did they beat them up, they cursed them, they took their food or they didn't provide them with food and made them run to the workplace and run back and run again and run back. Basically, hell on earth. ויהי היום, and then was one day, כשהובל מצעד גדול של עובדי כפייה לעבודתם. It says one day, we're not yet at the question, right? This is all description that was needed for us to understand the question. He says, and there was one day that a great parade came from the labor camp, I guess, to their work. והימים ימי כפור וקרח ולפני קראתו מי יעמוד. And it was frozen. It was freezing. בפרט שהאומללים הללו היו עטופי בגדי בגדים דלים ולא יחם להם. So it's freezing, and obviously the inmates don't have a coat, okay? They barely have a shirt. והנוגסים הארורים נוגסים אותם בשוטים ובעקרבים לאמור מהרו ללכת. And the Nazis are basically beating them up and telling them, rush, go quickly. מהרו ללכת. ורגלי האומללים הללו אינם רגל ישרה. And those miserable inmates, they barely can walk. כי נפוחים הם מרעב ומעמל הדרך, because their feet are swallowed and they are hungry. על כן מעדה רגלה מדי פעם בפעם קראו וגם נפלו, ורבים מהצועדים לא הוסיפו קום. So they fell, and some of them, after they fell, they just couldn't get up. כי נפשם יצא בעוניים, because their soul departed, that's it, they were done. והנה, אחד מהצועדים האומללים הללו, שנפשו מרתה עליו עד מאוד ורוחו נפלה בקרבו מרוב צער ויגון סבל וייאוש. Says one of those inmates, one of those Jews who were marching to go to work, and he saw what's going on around him, and he himself was basically exhausted. בראותו את עשרות האנשים שכוחם אזל והם נופלים בלכתם, כשהם מנפחים את נפשם ומשיבים את רוחם לאלוקים, קרא למראהו האיש הצועד אחריו. Oh, now we are getting to the question. So imagine you have a group of inmates. They are being beaten up, they are being screamed at. Go. Freezing cold. They are basically almost frozen to death. Some of them are also always, some of them are already dropped like flies. And there is a guy now. Now the question begins. Someone, one of those Jews, basically see what's going on around him. And he says to the guy who walks next to him, and he says to him, Ana acha, my brother, please. אם נא מצאתי חן בעיניך, do you see by the way the פסוקים, ועשית עמדי חסד ואמת. Yeah, it's amazing the way he quotes things incredible. So he says, if I found favor in your eyes, please do with me some kind deed. אנא, אמץ את כל כוחך ותן לי דחיפה עצומה עד שאפול לארץ, ואנה תחזור עד עוד דחיפותיך פעם ושתיים, אולי על ידי כך יהיה פעם כוחו וישאר לבסוף מוטל על הארץ אין עונים, ונפשי תצא בקרבי, כי קשל בכוח הסבא לסבול את העוני והאיסורים, וטוב לי מותי מחיי. He basically says to him what? Push me to the ground, push me again until I can get up, and then I'll die. I just can't do it anymore. Meaning? He basically asked his friend to do what? Kill him indirectly. To help him die. Assist him. Now this is terrible. So, ואם ידי דברו ככה אל ראו פעם ופעמיים. So he talked to this friend. I'm not sure even if they were friends. Just the guy who was... No, but then, basically what they do, they tell them, get up. So he says... So maybe he just didn't have the guts to do it. Maybe he was afraid that they would beat him up and get him up. But if he will push him... Yeah. So, or maybe he just didn't have the courage to do it. And sometimes, you know, the zets of life is just, you can't, you go up. So, נחמרו רחמי האיש עליו, כי אמר בליבו, מה בצע בדמו ברידתו אל שחת במוקדם או במאוחר, עלו באמת טוב המוות מהחיים כאלו. So the friend says to him, you know, he says to himself, look, the guy is nudging me all those time, and you know what? He's right. We are going to die. So we are going to die here, or we are going to die later on. Right? So maybe I'll just help him to die while he can, and not while they decide that he needs to die. ומכיוון שהאיש הזה מציק לו בבקשו אותו, אני רואה היטב כי חרה לו, and he says to himself, look, the guy is begging me to do it, so I'm sure that's what he wants, וכי באמת חסד ואמת אעשה איתו עם המלא בקשתו, and really I feel that I do some, really, I'm doing kind thing for him, לכן החליט האיש למלא את בקשתו, so he agreed to what? To do it. והדחוף אותו בחוזקה בכל כוחו פעם ופעמיים, וכל פעם האיש נופל ארצה מלא קומתו, מחמת הדחיפות הללו עד שלבסוף כשבאו למקום העבודה היה איש חלוש כל כך ואין עונים עד שצנח ארצה ונשאר מוטל ללא רוח חיים. So he pushed him and he pushed him, he got up. But when they got to the workplace, the guy collapsed. So do you see what's going on here? Now I'm talking halakha. Because I need to analyze, עוד מעט we will understand the question. But what exactly went on here? So he asked him, it was not from his own decision, he asked him, he nudged him, he begged him, do it, he did it. He didn't die after all those time that he pushed him to the ground. When did he die? Later on when they got to the workplace. He was so exhausted that then he just dropped dead. So, what's the question? Now, so the halachic question is obviously what caused it, and if this guy is considered what as a murderer. First degree, second degree, I don't know, but... Okay. Now, the fact that someone asked me to kill him, I still can't do that. So we will see that that's not the question. The question will be different. What you said definitely is a question. If the question was, is he a murderer or not? There is a byproduct of that question, which he will ask in a minute. And take a look. Vine. Second line. לאחר שאיר השם פניו אלינו, והמציא לנו ישע במגור כוח רשע, במיגור כוח רשע. So, ברוך השם, השם shined his face to us, and he redeemed us. כשהתקרבו הימים הקדושים עם הדין והמשפט בשלהי שנת תשין דלד. So, we approached the חגים of year תשין דלד, which was 44, והתחלנו לעשות את כל הסידורים כדי שנוכל להתפלל כציבור ברוב עם. So they gather the people in order to what? To have תפילת חגים and מניין. חיפשנו אז אחר איש שיוכל לעבוד לפני התיבה בימים נוראים, שיהיה הגון וקולו יהיה ערב, כנהוג מקדמה דנה בכל תפוצות ישראל למנות שץ לימים נוראים. So we're looking for what for? A חזן, לשליח ציבור. והנה אחרי הרבה חיפושים, ובא אלינו האיש הזה כדי שימונה להיות שליח ציבור לראש השנה ויום הכיפורים. So who did they find? The pusher. the guy who pushed the other Jew. ונוכחנו לדעת כי מכל הבחינות הוא ראוי ומתאים למשרה הכבודה הזאת לעמוד ולהתחנן על עמו ישראל. We found him to have a wonderful call, wonderful voice, and he's a good person and everything, however, אלא שנמצאו עליו עוררים לאמור, but there are other people who said, whoa, one second, פסול הוא להיות שץ. He cannot be a חזן, why? כדין הורג את הנפש, because he killed someone. Meaning some other inmates who were on that march, they saw him pushing this guy until he was exhausted and then he dropped dead. ונשאלתי אז, אם מותר האיש להיות שץ? So the question that came in front of me was what? Is this person allowed to what? To be a חזן. והאם אין עליו לקבל תשובה מיוחדת? על בדעשה הוא אשר עשה, והאם קבלת התשובה תועיל לו שיוכל לקבל את המינוי? ומכיוון שקשה היה למצוא אז חזן אחר, והיה שאת הדחק ממש, נתבקשתי על ידי השואלים לנחות לאונקה דדינה ולתלות מרגניתא דהיתרא על פי דינה של תורה בזו השאלה. That's why I'm telling you, you need to read the question so in such a meticulous way. Rebbe Ephraim says what? He says, I was asked to give my halachic decision. But I want to tell you, it was probably very close to what two yamim noraim, A. B, we didn't find anyone else. And they asked me to do what? Limtso lidlot marganita dehetera. Which means what? Rabbi, find the heter. That's the question. They didn't ask him, what do you think? They asked him, how can you allow it? Justify it, please. Find a way to make it mutar. That was the question. You can't choose the question. That's the question. Now, we know, he will talk about it here. So what do we have here? First and foremost, we think about what? Is he really a murderer or not? Which means and an indirect cause that led to what? To death. Is he considered a murderer? Question number one. If he's not considered as a murderer, is he considered as an... what do you call him?
Accomplice.
Right. To death. Third, even if you don't call him a murderer and not accomplice, nothing. Is he the guy that you want to be your chazan?
Or...
What?
Is he disqualified?
Yeah. Why? Because, you know, how can he daven for us when he doesn't really care? Like, he can basically push someone, right? Do we want him as a chazan? Does he need a special tshuva or something? And then, you also have a question, which is a halachic question. Let me ask you a question. You are asked by a Jewish family. You are a Jew. They give you their children, so you have an access to a church and you can basically protect those children in a church. Not knowing what will happen to them, right? So, gzirat shmad.
During the war.
Are you allowed to do it?
Yes. I say yes.
You'll say yes, right?
I think that all bets are off in this.
Okay. So, Susie says, very good. There is an approach to say, look, Rabbi, you can talk. When you're talking yeshiva, you can do whatever you want. You're talking about real time, real life. And now, by the way, what I did is here, I bechavana, purposely. What I compared was mavet, gufani, a physical death, and a spiritual death. Basically, you are helping. You are basically bringing those kids to shmad. Because you never know if they will get out of that. And then they will intermarry, they will do whatever. Basically, they are done. Yes, there are stories, many stories that they came out and they were good and blah, blah, blah. But there are many stories, other stories, that they basically chose to be Christians. From a halachic perspective, for sure, that's considered as what? As spiritual death. So now the question is, no one asks those questions, right? Because that's saving lives. Here we are asking the question, why? Because we took life. So now we have a problem. Yeah, that leads to the discussion about what they call euthanasia, what is called hamatat chesed, which is almost mutually exclusive to some extent, because if you kill someone, it's not chesed, but sometimes it is the chesed for him. But who are you to decide what is chesed for him and what is not? And then all the questions about quality of life and all of that. And today, because the medicine is so advanced and they basically keep people alive, sometimes they just keep the body alive, but not the person. No, we're not going to discuss it now, but
we did a class,
right? So I can't do it again. So the thing is, we have here a dilemma. Maybe even if you consider that as killing, you still what? He did him a favor. He basically, if you remember those classes that he removed the obstacle. David, you need to speak up because I can't hear you. Okay, good. That's Shaul. But then we discussed it with Shaul when he asked the guy to kill him. But that's because he was a king and maybe other things. But Rab Hananya ben Tradion, you remember him? That they put fire around him and then the guy asked him, okay, I'll remove this cotton from your heart and then you will die quicker. Don't forget also that there is another halachic consideration. I bring you up to date with all the questions that we need to ask. Don't forget in the she'ela, in the question, they also... The notion was what? That they are all going to die. So, for example, if someone kills treifa, what is a treifa? Not a treif. Treifa means an animal that will not finish the year. We know for sure there is some kind of a blemish or a mum or whatever, a sickness, that she will die in a year. It's also, by the way, with a person, that we know that this person will going to die in a year. If someone killed someone that you know is going to die, is that considered as a murderer? For sure, he's going to die. He's going to die on March 10th, 2023. There is. In the time of the Talmud. I'm not talking about today. It's called treifa. Treifa means, the halachic definition of treifa is? So you're saying you're taking life, but I can say there is no life. Right? Now, I know it's not popular. I understand, but now for the sake of the discussion, we need to open our mind and to think, rega, it might be that he's right. For example, I'll give you another one. No, it's lama, the talui echad bashani. If it's murder, so it's punishable. If it's not murder, why would you punish him? Just because he didn't do something that you think is unethical? Okay, that's your problem. So what is it? Okay, those are the rules. There is a huge dispute about it.
Well, there's always a dispute.
I want to ask you another question, okay? Someone is shooting a bullet. Sometimes he's shooting a gun on someone. He tied him up, put him here on the wall, take the gun, and made the shot. You come along with a knife and cut off his head before the bullet came into his heart. Who is the murderer? Oy. The what? The bullet is here. Yeah, now let's pause the picture. That's what we do in yeshiva, you see? It's really sharpening your mind, but it really gives you the fundamentals of how do you define murder. Okay, so the guy is shooting, and now you pause the picture. And the bullet is here. Someone comes with a knife and chop off this guy's head. Okay, and then the bullet got into his heart. Who killed him?
The knife. I would say the knife.
Who is the murderer?
The knife.
As you know, if I was not there with the knife, he would be dead. He would be dead. So what did I kill?
He was still alive.
Was he?
Well, that's what I mean.
Was he still alive?
Yeah.
So you're saying, until his last breath, he's alive.
Yeah.
Or I can look at him already as a dead person. If someone is now, again, another one I'll give you.
Here he said that life was worse than death.
Oh, rega. We'll add to it. Rega. I'll give you another question. Someone that the Beidin decided that he's going to be executed the next day. The Gemara talks about it in Sanhedrin, in the Flamed Gimel, okay? Let's say no one has anything good to say about this guy. He's on his way to the execution. They put him on the stage, okay, and they are about to stone him. They take the stones. I'm sorry about the gory description. Okay, they are about to throw it, and then there is a sharpshooter from the roof. Boom! Kills him before he was stoned. No? Is he a murderer or not? The guy is... People are with their stones in their hands.
The question is, where does the act or the person?
Yeah, that's the question.
And was the sharpshooter on the payroll?
From the Beidin or from the other family? But this is the question. How do you define it? Is murder is taking life or taking life from a living person? Do I see someone who is about to be executed, or is a trefa, as a living person or not? Now, I understand. We have such a Western understanding. Until the last breath, he is what? He's alive. Yes? Do you like that fundamental? Because if you follow this fundamental, brain dead, you will need to be kept alive forever. Do you like it on that front? So I told you, be careful. Because there are ramifications to every halachic questions. If you create a fund, that's why all those questions are so interesting. Not only from the cognitive exercise, I'll put it like that, but it's mostly because of what? Because of the fundamentals that comes out of it. Because be careful. If you tell me that you define someone that has life only until the last breath he or she takes, okay, so deal with that with other issues. So basically what we have here is a complicated question. Now, in addition to it, life was unbearable. It's interesting. I didn't read anything about it, and I read a little bit testimonies, but I cannot really form something that I can say, oh, I think this is my theory. And I don't know if they even know, or if it was investigated or researched, how the, quote-unquote, the inmates view themselves as dead people or as a living people, as living people. There's a tremendous difference.
But I think it's very
subjective, but it's just interesting to me how do they view themselves. And it's interesting that this case, by the way, was not that often. We know that the numbers of Jews who basically decided to not to continue on was very, very small. Very small. Which means, I don't know what, I mean, it can mean many things, that they had hope. Yeah, so you can say about the Jewish hope that even if there is a little bit of tikva, they see the next day. Okay, that's one. B, it might be that they basically were so brainwashed that they didn't know that it's going to last for so long. But if they would, if in 1940 they would know that they will stay until 1944 or 1945, depends where, okay, they will basically, you know, check out before. So we don't know. My guess is that obviously the Jewish tradition basically gave them somewhat of hope that they need to continue to maintain themselves. But this is just a theory. I don't know. So that's the question. Should he be Chazan or not? Now, I don't think we're going to read... No, we're not going to read all of it. But you can take it home, obviously. But I'll bring you the questions that he had to deal with. Besides all the questions that we discussed, there are a few other questions that we need to talk about when we talk about Chazan, Bichlal. When you hire a Chazan for Yamim Noraim, especially for Yamim Noraim, for Chagim, he needs to be, first and foremost, he needs to be Mekubal al Tzibur. He needs to be what? Accepted by the community. Now, this person... We already know that what? That some of the people didn't approve of what he did. Now, I assume that after the rabbi will say he's okay, they will say, if the rabbi said it's okay, so we are. It's not that they were friends of that guy necessarily, of the pusher or the one who was pushed or asked to be pushed. Just they didn't know them. They just didn't like what they saw. So perhaps they basically say, look, I don't really care, you know, but I just want to know that he's accepted by the rabbi, so he will be accepted by me. That's one. Second thing is that we have another requirement for Chazan in Yamim Noraim, שלא יצא עליו שם רע בילדותו, that he has a good reputation. Now, this guy, I mean, the only stain that we know about his reputation is what? Is this incident that he can even say, look, I was pushed. I was the one who was pushed to push that guy. The guy nudged me all the way from the camp to the workplace, and he just didn't let me go. He begged me to do it. He put so much emotional stress on me that I just decided, you know what? I'll do it. And you know what? Maybe he can say, look, I was about to ask the same thing in a week from now. So we don't know exactly what were the circumstances. So that's where I need to create a distinction. I can say you are not correct, but I can say the halakha has a different angle. From my perspective, I need to know, I care less if he's going to inspire you or not. I need to know a few things. A, that he's accepted on the tzibur and he has good reputation. No one can say, look, my gosh, you know, this is my chazan. The guy is a thief, he's a cheater, he's a terrible person. No, no, not at all. But he's being viewed like that by some people. Okay, so we will see what he says, but I just want to bring the questions that we have. And now, can we distinguish between different transgressions? Let's say this guy, when he was a child, okay, he didn't keep Shabbat. Then he became Chozer B'tshuva, and now he's keeping Shabbat and Mitzvot and everything. Is that something that lo yatzah alav shem rabbi yalduto? So you look at me and say, rega, but now he's okay. Yeah, but you know, I'm in the car, and I remember him eating treif on Yom Kippur that was on Shabbat. What else can I add to it? You know?
It's refuting everything that we're about. Being a Baal Tshuva is not a crime.
No, not at all. But he shouldn't be my chazan. I'm not telling him not to come to my minyan. He sure can come to the minyan, but I don't want him to be my leader.
He's the person who improved himself.
Kol hakavod. Wonderful for him. I love playing my part, by the way. Wonderful for him. Great.
Just because somebody's background from way back when, in this regard,
I will give him a letter of recommendation to be a chazan somewhere else.
They do have very strange criteria. Like, for instance, some congregations want the person to be married.
Nachon meot, 25 years old or 30. Right. What I'm saying is, I want you to understand the complexity of this tshuva, not only from the regular classic halachic questions here, but also from the Shoah perspective. So you take all of that, put it together, and then this Rav Ephraim, poor Rav Ephraim, needs to give a tshuva.
To find the heter
for that. Okay. Now, I'm skipping around here, so I'm just looking at things, because it's not fair to read all of it, and I won't finish tomorrow. Take a look. It will be here. Ubeshut. Okay, so that's on page 3. Yeah, page 3. That will be a little bit after the middle of the page, where the line starts with Hamevayesh. Do you have it? It will be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines from the end. Okay, it says, Uveshut yore dea, siman resh mem alef siv dalet katav amechaber. Hayu aviv v'imo reshaim gmurim. Someone's parents are really wicked. Ve'ovre avera. Afilu nigmar dinam le'ariga v'yotzim le'ehareg. So let's say the Beidin, that was one of the questions that we raised, right? The Beidin decided they're going to be executed. The parents. Asur lo le'akotam u'lekalelam, v'im ika otam u'kilelam patur, v'im asu tshuva, arei ze chaya v'nehrag aleim af al pi sh'yotzim le'ehareg. So it says, the son cannot curse them and not allowed to beat them up, even though they are going to be executed. And if they did tshuva, and he cursed them, he's going to be put to death. But the Shach says, "B'me dvarim amurim bivno, aval be'acher sheba v'ikau v'kilelo achar shenigmar dino, af al pi she'asa tshuva patur, o'il v'olech lamita." ואם בישו חייב כנס המבייש, הרי מבואר לנו משס ורבותינו, אשטר עבר ורם במטור, כמו שביא השח, דמי שנגמר דינו למיטה ואיש אחר הרגו שאין עליו דין מיטה. He says, we learn from this הלכה, that if someone is about to be executed, and someone else killed him, he is not considered as what as a murderer. מה לעשות? ולכל היותר יש לדונו כרוצח בשוגג. Max, he can be what? רוצח בשגגה. What does a רוצח בשגגה, what is his punishment? עיר מקלט. He runs to the עיר מקלט, and if we know that he's there, that he did it בשגגה, unintentionally, what do? You wait for the Kohen Gadol to die, and then you can bring him back to the city. But he can do tshuva. So he considered this person as well. He can do tshuva. C-A-N, do tshuva. So based on that, Rav Ephraim basically says what? The guy who pushed the other person is not considered as a murderer. Why? The what?
I'm good with that.
You are good with that. Yeah. I'm not. Surprise, surprise. Why I'm not? Oh, okay. So I just want now to show you how I agree with Susie, but I'm just going to present the other side. How making a halachic decision is so influenced by an analysis of the situation. What did he do, Rav Ephraim, from a halachic, cognitive, logical way? He says, look, I need to try to find in halacha a case that is similar to my case. So, I basically going to say, look, we all Jews, we thought that we are going to die. Therefore, it is like what? We were decided by the Beidin to be executed. Therefore, if someone else will kill him, he is not considered as a murderer, right? That's what he did logically. I can refute it. Why can I refute it? Look, there is a difference between Beidin making a decision to execute you after they exhausted all the ways to save you, because don't forget, in every case of execution, the Beidin tried its best to do what? To save the person. Why? Because the Torah says, Vehetzilu Aeda, which means the Aeda, the Sanhedrin, needs to what? To do their best to do what? To save the person. For example, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Machzirim lezchut, ve'ein machzirim lechova, which means, if we decided in the Beidin that this guy must be executed, he's on his way to be executed, and one of the Edim or the Dayanim or someone says, no, wait. I think I have a way to exonerate this person. We bring him back to the Beidin. We listen up. We listen to this person, and if we are convinced, we are taking a new vote. So we do our best to do what? To save the person. But this case, the Shoah, and that's why I hinted to it, did they see themselves as dead people? Or they saw themselves as people who are still alive under tremendous difficulties? Now, it's subjective for sure. But can I say that every day of their life they thought they are dead people? Because if you say so, why would they fight for bread? Why would they fight for going to work? So they saw themselves as alive. Oh, yeah, that's a little bit later. That's after they were redeemed. But while they are walking, okay? How many testimonies? There is one testimony that I will never forget. I think I heard it when I was a child. And the guy with the hat, you remember? I don't know if you remember. It's just like really in the beginning when, I don't know, maybe they changed it in the Yad Vashem, but there was a testimony of a person who basically said that every time that they had to stand in the Mifkad, they had to have a hat. And one day he wakes up in the morning and his hat disappeared. He understood if he's coming without a hat, he's going to be shot. He took someone else's hat and he says it haunts him like every day of his life. Now he doesn't know if he caused him to die. Maybe this guy didn't wake up in the morning, but he took his hat. So if you think you are dead, stand there without a hat, get the shot and move on. Why didn't they run into the electric fences? What I'm saying is that I can look at that reality, analyze it differently, and then if I say that they were not already were executed, so then if I pushed him and I caused him to die, what am I? I don't know if I'm a murderer, but it's definitely not this case. So why am I saying that to you? Not because I want, God forbid, to say that this guy is a murderer. I just want to show you. That's why I chose this tshuva. There are other tshuva. This tshuva is so difficult. Because I can look at the reality and I can make basically a psak based on what now? This is not based on halacha. Meaning, before I get to the halacha, I need to define what? The reality. What am I dealing with? Now, I think that Rav Ephraim gave this introduction to basically tell you what? Because he repeats a sentence, kashal koach hasabal. We can't carry it anymore. It's just too overwhelming for us. But if you ask other people, I don't know. Especially, by the way, I think, Susie, you asked, if this guy wanted to die so badly, there are so many ways for him to die. Stop walking. The Nazis will come, beat you up. Don't move. They will shoot you. So, if you really, really want to die, I'm not judging. I'm now talking about the analysis that I need to do as a posek. Do it. Move from the lines, you'll be shot. It might be a terrible death. They will send the dogs after you. Might be. But you will be dead in a few minutes. So why do you ask me to do it for you? Shaul, leave alone, David, because Shaul is a king, and I'll tell you why. I'm rejecting it. No, I understand. Shaul asked the guy to basically help him to die. 100%. Yeah, but I'm saying that most of the poskim take Shaul as an anomaly because he was a king and the entire honor of the Jewish people was in his hands. So that's many of the people reject that idea. But there were others. So the thing is that when I look at the reality, and if I analyze it from a different perspective, I can come to what? Different conclusions. So that's one thing that I wanted to show you. Now, I guess it comes like in sequence 1, 2, 3, 4, but here is 1, 3, 2. So let me get to the 4. I'll find for you another thing. I don't know if he's saying that or not, but I'll give you another thing to consider. When I talked about the reality, and if this guy is considered as already being executed, now let's talk about the guy who pushed the person. Can I say that he was, even if you consider him as a murderer, he did it b'shogeg. What do I mean? How do I define shogeg? Shogeg basically with no malicious intents. What is the classic case of hariga b'shogeg that the Torah brings? Someone went to the forest, chop woods. There was a spark that came out from the tree. I didn't see that the other guy is behind me. Okay? I probably should have checked before I did it, but I didn't. The spark came, got into his heart, head, whatever, and the guy dropped dead. Lo oyev lo velo mevakesh ra'ato. I'm not his enemy. I'm not looking to kill the guy. I don't even know the guy. I was just what? I was not careful. I didn't see. So I'm going to pay for it. That's called what? Rotzeach bishgaga. These two guys, am I his enemy? It might be that even he's from Greece and I'm from Hungary. Okay? We couldn't even barely talk to each other. I don't know him. The guy begs me to do what? To push him. So, and he told me that it's for his own good. That's what he's asking me. I didn't have a chance to ask a rabbi. So yes, unlike chopping the woods in the forest and indirectly this something came from the tree and killed this guy or from the axe, I was the one to push him. But I was not his enemy. I didn't look to do bad thing for him. I looked to do what? Good thing for him. For him it was redemption. So, therefore, I should be considered as what? As Rotzeach Bishgaga. Now, why Rotzeach Bishgaga? Rotzeach Bishgaga, someone who killed unintentionally, can do tshuva and become chazan. Oh, very good. And also he got up and then he dropped dead later on, which means, yeah, can you, can you contribute it to me pushing him? Probably, but we also know that if someone pushed someone or caused the damage to someone, we have what? Im italech b'chutz al mishanto v'nika hamakeh. I pushed someone and he went to the hospital and then after the hospital he was okay. He had a cane, whatever, but he was walking. After 3 months, he dropped dead on the street. He had a heart attack. Are you going to contribute his heart attack to me pushing him 3 months ago? No. If you tell me that I took his heart, okay, and then I gave it back to him, okay, and then he dropped dead because his heart didn't work, because I didn't put it correctly, okay, but said you can contribute it to me. But not every time. Look, it's many times, you know where this thing is very, very interesting? In lawsuits of car accidents. There is a car accident, okay, and the guy had, he hit his neck, whatever, and then 3 months later, he sued this person again for what? For back pain and leg pain. And again, I'm not passing judgment here. I'm just saying, how long would you contribute your other issues to what? To this accident, this incident. So I can say, look, even if I would not push him, because we walked for another 2 hours and there was no water, no food, no nothing, the guy dropped dead because it was what? It was freezing. His feet were swollen. He didn't eat for 2 days. He was emotionally distressed, so he just dropped dead. He lost zets for life. So yes, did I push him? Yes, for sure. Can you prove that me pushing him caused his death? Perhaps it hastened it, but I didn't kill him. Do you see how we can have discussions here? And by the way, you can't prove anything because it was not done in a lab when you have algorithm and I don't know what else, artificial intelligence to know exactly what was in your mind. We don't have it. Yes.
As a responsible for that
person. So very interesting. So very interesting. For that we have a special pasuk. Verapo yirapeh. Mikan sherashut larofe lerapeh. Meaning it says verapo yirapeh twice and he shall heal him. This is the permission from the Torah to heal a person, not only because the doctor intervened in God's decisions, but also that if he made a mistake, So he's exempt. But the question is, what kind of mistake?
Yeah.
If he is an orthopedist and he did an open heart surgery, he will be,
yes,
he will be sued. But if he is a heart surgeon and he made a mistake that it was not out of negligence, but rather out of malasot. So same thing, by the way, with rabbis. If I make a mistake, it depends if it's Dvar Mishnah or Svara, meaning if it's something that, and if I'm an expert or not. Okay, so we have the same thing with Dayanim, with Rofim, everything. Now, oh, one more question. You see, today is a questions day, because it's a lot to think about. Someone who was a couple, can he be Chazan?
Same
questions. Almost the same questions. Which means?
Well, some of them were good and some were bad.
Even the good ones, they had to do something that was not exactly... Kapo. Kuf Aleph Pei Vav. Yeah. So a Jewish guy who basically was volunteered, or a woman, achon, and they basically were in charge on the inmates. They received a little bit more food. Look, the question's about the Judenrite. Okay, in almost Jewish council. Okay, same thing. You know, what do you do with people like that?
I'll just tell you quickly, my mother was on the...
So do you call him... So what do you do with the others? Okay, what do you do with the others? Would you, by the way, what would you do? How would you call parents who had a decision to make that they can save only one child, knowing that the other child will die? So how would you call those parents? Should they say to the person, "You choose," or they should choose? Now, we can bring dilemmas after dilemmas, and we can sit here and really be like totally down. I want to say with one thing, really, when I look at Shoah and the questions, and even last night when we did the tekes on at Shul, I was amazed. There was a woman, I will not say the name, her father, they were in Amsterdam, and before he went to the labor camp, he created a Jewish calendar for the next few years. He took it with him. She has it.
Wow.
I mean, you go to a place that you know you're not going to really have few minyanim a day, okay? You take a Jewish calendar with the chagim and what parashot you're going to read and what haftarot you're going to read. For me, it's an incredible thing. The fact that they came to ask a rabbi a question, an halachic question, in time that was horrible time.
But that kept it normal.
And I think you're right. Sometimes even the obsession with something from the past that was so important for you keeps you what normal, sane, that you are not thinking only about how am I going to get another piece of bread, but something that has value.
But that's what Viktor Frankl's book called.
And this is something that... I think it's definitely something that we need to think about. I don't know, Shoah has so many different layers that you can think about. And at the end, by the way, if you are interested in the answer, so he says that he can be Chazan. He just needs to do tshuva, needs to accept upon himself all sorts of things. Obviously, we'll go to the mikveh. And he also says that Davka, his tshuva, will make him a lev shavur. He will be like with a broken heart. And because a chazan has a broken heart, obviously he can daven in a more meaningful way.
Isn't the, forgive me, I don't remember the name of the prayer that a chazan does before
he... Hineni e'ani mimas.
Okay. I know that was brought in before this, but wasn't that also... to give the vehicle to the chazan so that if there was something that needed to do teshuva for it, that was the vehicle to do it?
Exactly, yeah. And he says it specifically in this tefillah. He says, ואת חטאי, please God, don't remember my transgressions, and then there is a quiet pause, and the Chazan makes, quote unquote, a confession, a vidui. Yeah? Yeah, because what you want is, based on Pasuk in Tehilim, lev nishbar venidke, Elokim lo tivze. A broken heart, God is not going to dismiss a broken heart. So with that in mind, that's it for today. No shiur next week. Yom HaAtzmaut, Bezrat Hashem.